Matthew chapter 13 will begin in verse 51. It says, Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? And they say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. This is the eighth parable that we found in eighth and final parable that we find in chapter 13. And it begins with this question. Jesus is simply asking his disciples, have you understood all these things? And he's, of course, referring to the past parables, the seven parables that he'd already looked at. And the word understood there, not to split hairs or anything, but it literally in the Greek means to put together. So essentially, he's asking the questions, are you able to put all this together that I've taught you? Put it, in other words, not just each individual teaching, but you beginning to understand what the kingdom is like. It would be essentially what he's asking. Do you comprehend it? And, of course, their answer was yea or yes. And the truth of the matter is they didn't totally understand, because there's evidence along the way that they had some confusion. But in essence, they were getting the greater part of it. They were getting a grip on it. So they answered in the affirmative. And so with them doing that, then Jesus gives a one-verse parable, and we'll read it one more time in verse 52. He says, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and things old. So he starts, he ends this chapter, or pretty close to ending it, with one more small parable, and he speaks there, he referring to them. When he says scribe, the word scribe is used in a number of different ways. In a general sense, it means one who wrote, or writer, or note taker, or recorder. So in a general sense, it was the guys that were writing everything down, okay? But among Judaism, it had a much deeper meaning. A scribe in Judaism was really a person, a man who was a learner and interpreter and teacher of the law. So it was much more than just taking notes, okay? A scribe in that sense was that they were familiar with was one that was a student of the Word of God, okay? And the scribes in the Judaism's sense, their task was to study Scripture, which at that time was the Old Testament, and interpret those scriptures. And we know, based upon some of our past studies, that to a great extent the scribes of Jesus' day had, along the way, most of them, with the other religious Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, had kind of gotten off track. They had begun to add to the Old Testament scriptures. We talked about this multiple times, making the little traditions they referred to them as laws, but there were no laws at all, because they were traditions added to God's laws, okay? And some of them even got to the point that they were in contradiction to God's actual law, okay? And so we know the scribes was in that sense, had kind of gotten off track. But all of that aside, Jesus is using the title scribe in little more in a general sense of a person who learns and understands God's word, okay? Not so much the religious sense that the scribes of the day were, okay? The disciples in that sense were scribes, because especially the 12, okay? We'll focus a little bit more on them. The 12 disciples would go on to be apostles. We know that. But the word disciple means learner. Actually, you and I are disciples today, by the way. But they were learners of God's word. And those 12 particular disciples that were a part of his inner circle, we know, of course, that Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus and was no longer amongst that group, and he was replaced by Matthias, okay? But those 12 particular disciples were really learners of what Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God. They were really students. They didn't come across that way early on, okay, because some of their behavior and their actions, but they were students of what Jesus was teaching, and they went on to become apostles, okay? And apostle means one sent out. So they go from being disciples, learners of the things of God, to being apostles, which is sent out. And so they were men who had learned the things of Jesus and that were going to be sent out to tell the world what they had learned. They were going to be entrusted with the revelation of His Word and to go into the world and essentially build His church, okay? And so Jesus, in this short parable, is describing their jobs, okay? So once again, the second part of verse 52, He says that they are like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and things old. Now, a householder is a reference to somebody that was the head of the household in those ancient times. The head of the household would have, under normal circumstances, been a man, okay? That's just the way it was and the way God designed it, okay? But if the male leader of the house was absent for some reason, perhaps he died, left his wife and children behind, perhaps he was traveling and the wife was left in charge of the household, or maybe even a divorce, perhaps, where she was left to herself. It could have been a woman, okay? But for the sake of ease and everything, I'm going to refer to him or he, okay? A householder, he was responsible for the entire welfare of the family, okay? Everything. Keeping ample supplies of food in the house, food, clothing, any other items of necessity. That was the householder's job, to make sure the family had those provisions, okay? And these items would have been kept in store. The word treasure there, that's simply just talking about the place where those things are stored. Some families had what were called, referred to as storehouses. And I'm sure it was just actually sheds or shacks or something where those things would be stored away, or perhaps a compartment in their existing house where they were stored away. But that's what's being referred to as treasure. And those valuables would be put there and kept there for safekeeping, and the householder would dispense that stuff out of the store or the treasure as needed along the way. Well, a wise householder would be frugal, naturally, and careful not to waste supplies, would want to do whatever it took to make sure there was always provision for their family. And so leftovers were likely, like it was at my house, there were no leftovers growing up. So, but if there were, you sure didn't throw them out, okay? And so leftovers weren't thrown out. Clothes that had been grown out of were not thrown away. They were simply put back in the storehouse, and as long as they were still useful, there would be someone come along that could use them until they were no longer useful. And all of this was done, those old things being used again and again, as well as the new things that would be added to the storehouse from time to time through bartering or through maybe when a crop comes in or whatever, okay? And, of course, the current economy would have a major impact on what came in or out of the storehouse, okay? The economy of the day may necessitate that householder to have to dip into the old a lot deeper than normal, okay? Not as enough new coming in, so we're dipping into the old. And so what little they had that was new might be laid aside and stored and saved, and then, you know, have to dip more into the older stuff. So I think you get the general idea. He speaks of the householder bringing forth. And that just simply in the Greek means scattering or distributing, distributing, okay? So with all of that in mind, Jesus is saying the disciples / apostles were given the responsibility to wisely and very strategically take the things of God, the old things and the new things, the things old meaning the Old Testament law and all of that, and the new things, the things Jesus had revealed to them, which ultimately would be the New Testament, okay? Take the Old Testament and the New Testament and take them and wisely distribute them widely throughout the world. And ultimately, that's what took place. The apostles, they weren't at the time this was spoken, but ultimately became the supreme Bible teacher slash preachers, theologians, really of all time. It's hard for us to imagine because they were kind of bumbling young Christians during much of the what we read in the Gospels. But ultimately, those guys gave us the Word of God. Okay, and so they were true theologians in every sense of the word. And of course, what they did as scribes, so to speak, have brought us to where we are today as a church. What we have today, ultimately it all began with those 12 particular ones, and of course many more that followed Jesus but were not in that inner circle, went out into the world, carried what they had learned from Jesus, and were sent out into the world with that message, okay? And so the vastness of the kingdom today is a result of their work early on as scribes. And that, and of course, the continued work of disciples and of Christ throughout all the centuries, even up to today. And so, though we're not apostles, okay, because apostles were people that had actually seen the resurrected Christ, okay, we are disciples in every sense of the word. And we don't have the degree of authority that were given, that was given to the 12 in Jesus' day. We don't have that degree of authority, but still we have, in a very real sense, we have been given what we've learned as disciples, and we're sent out by the Great Commission to go and tell the world. We're the scribes, so to speak, that Jesus speaks of here in this parable. And especially those who are called to preach and teach have that responsibility. But it doesn't stop there. It goes with every Christian, okay? And so that winds up the eighth and final parable of this chapter. I'll just comment a little bit. We're not going to get into the next particular text today, but we'll finish that up the next time we're together. But I think, and just studying some smart guys, the parable of the sower and the parable of the wheat and tares were probably, as we move on and go through the book of Matthew, we'll see, were probably the most, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, maybe profound, maybe important parables that we read in that whole chapter. Because the parables tell us about the way it's going to be in the church age, which is the current age that you and I live in, which will exist until Jesus comes back, okay? There are going to be, those parables told us that there's going to be wheat and tares, right? Or in the parable of the sower, there were four different categories or soil types, if you will, that represent the way different people receive the gospel or don't receive it at all, okay? And so during the church age, it's important that we understand this, and it was important that the disciples that Jesus is speaking to understood this, is that there were going to, during the church age, there's going to be lost people and there's going to be saved people. There are going to be those that have heard the gospel and rejected it, and there will be those who heard the gospel and accepted it. Those two will coexist all throughout the church age. There will be belief and there will be unbelief. There will be good, there will be evil. And as we move forward from this point in the book of Matthew, we're going to begin to see examples of both. Now, it's not that we haven't seen a little bit along the way already, but even more so, there's going to be a few more parables along the way. Not very many left in this particular book. This is going to conclude the bulk of them, okay? But going forward, we're going to begin to see those who receive the gospel and those who hear the gospel and reject it, okay? Keep in mind, before we leave here, that What was the purpose of the parables? Jesus said that the parables were for his disciples to understand. And they were given in such a way that outsiders who don't know the Lord or don't have the spiritual insight would not receive and understand the kingdom. Jesus said there will always be those that don't understand. And so he would give these truths in parables by using situations, using objects, using stories that were familiar to the hearers. Case in point, the householder. That was something that we're familiar with those terms, okay? The storehouse, they were familiar with those terms. And as we have already seen by going through all of these parables, we saw seeds, plants, soil, sowers, birds, leaven, buried treasure, pearls, fishing nets, vessels, fish, boats, now a householder, merchants. And I'm sure I'm leaving out a few, okay? I just jotted those down as I rehearsed the parables we've already been through. And all of those things were used to describe the kingdom of God. And very effectively, by the way, how as you and I study them, we don't relate as closely to them because we're not around a bunch of fishermen, or if we, you know, we're not around merchantmen, and we're not around in the sense that he uses those things. But using the Word of God and a little study has helped us understand more about the kingdom. I know in my own personal study, this has helped me understand more about the kingdom than I did prior to studying out these parables. And so Jesus is putting the cookies on the bottom shelf, so to speak, so we can all reach them by using parables, okay? And I appreciate that because I need them down there, okay? And so the next time we're together, we'll begin in verse 53 and we'll go through verse 58. And what it boils down to is Jesus going back to Nazareth and being rejected by his own, okay? And we'll see that the next time we're together. Until then, we will see you back here Sunday, Lord willing, okay? Don't forget, if you will, the training for Good News Club, 4 o'clock on Sunday. Put that in your plans. And otherwise, we will go ahead and stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer, okay? Blake, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?